Welcome back to episode 228. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well. Well, Joe, here we are. We're a week before Christmas, right? Yeah.
It is. Exactly right. Yeah.
A week before Christmas. So, well, last night I was at a dinner with some friends, and this came over the transom, the headline. Court rules Biden's vaccine mandate for large employers can take effect. The decision reverses previous rulings, but Republicans officials say they will appeal measure to the Supreme Court. Federal appeals court panel has allowed Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for larger private employers to move ahead. Federal appeals court panel has allowed Joe Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for larger employers to move ahead, reversing a previous decision on the requirement that could affect some 84 million U.S. workers. The 2-1 decision by a panel of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati overrules a decision by a federal judge in a separate court that had paused the nationwide mandate. Joe Biden faces a vaccine mandate pushback from his own party, despite support from the scientists. Oh, that's just the headline, I'm sorry. The mandate from the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, was to take effect on January 4th. With Friday's ruling, it's not clear when the requirement might be put in place. But the White House said in a statement that it will protect workers. Well, thank you, especially as the U.S. faces the highly transmissible Omicron variant. Very transmissible. It's critical we move forward with the vaccination requirements and protections for workers with the urgency needed in this moment. Republican state attorneys general and conservative groups said they would appeal Friday's decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's back in play, supposedly. I know these things go back and forth in the courts. I don't put much faith or trust in the U.S. court system these days. After all, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a man can't pretend to be a woman, and you have to honor that delusion and can't discriminate against them. There have been court rulings that have handed over $1 million settlements for people who have sued because they're not allowed to use the opposite sex bathroom because they identify as the opposite sex. The court has also recently refused to hear appeals regarding mandates in New York. But then again, we don't know where this is going. Obviously, the thing is unconstitutional, illegal, and immoral. And although I like to see victories in the court system, I don't think that's the only battlefield, nor should we put our full, put all eggs in that one basket, because the legal system, the courts are really pretty much a subset of politics. And if the courts don't go our way, then you have to figure out another way to fight it. Because after all, the courts in many ways are just as compromised, as controlled as their legislature, the executive branches, and our media. So it's part of the power structure. So what say you?
Well, I'm in agreement, believe it or not. I think the opinion that they gave is extremely important people to be aware of. I'll just read some of the highlights from Jane Straunch. I don't know what ethnicity she is, but
Does that matter in our country?
I guess it does matter. Not when you're dealing with these sorts of issues, but it is, I think, something one can be aware of. Anyway, she wrote, the COVID-19 pandemic has wrecked havoc across America, leading to the lives of over 800,000 citizens, shutting down workplace and jobs across the country and threatening our economy. I'll just go on. He says,
that's a legal opinion.
Yeah. Now listen, it gets better.
Editorial.
Recognizing that the old normal is not going to return, employers and employees have sought new models for a workplace that will protect the safety and health of employees who earn their living there. Now,
who pointed Klaus Schwab to the
this is almost like words from Olympus. I mean, recognizing that the old normal is not going to return. Now, where does she get the legal capacity, to know and to authorize this as like, and then, of course, the idea that 800,000 people, that needs to be modified, doesn't
yes,
it? Because
yes, yes,
we
yes.
know that actually there were 800,000 people who died with COVID, but not from COVID, you see.
Yes,
this is that. And then she uses the old canard. She talks about, you know, well, gee, everything got shut down. This is terrible. We've got to, you know, everyone needs to be vaccinated. Well, look,
the virus did this.
The reason that everything was shut down was because the government shut everything down. This wasn't the virus shutting everything down. If it hadn't been for the media and the government, no one would even known that the virus existed. Because since the median age of death is the median age of death of most populations that the virus was existing within, who would have known that it even existed? So you're just dealing, you know, with...
Well, shouldn't she, with that opinion, shouldn't she had recused herself from the case? She's obviously not looking at it objectively. Well, not considering.
Yeah. I mean, she should just simply say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm too partisan, I have to resign. And I'll let someone else make a judicial call on this. But the idea of, you know, recognizing that the old normal is not going to return, that is... you know, you're dealing now with just propaganda, mind control. And, you know, this is underlying the comments you made earlier about the judicial system at this point is just part of the mind control. And it can obviously manipulate it to, you know, to create the idea that there's a real dialectic that you can hope for the outcome, you know, would turn in your favor. But the fact is, the judicial system is under control. And it's just going to continue with the genocide. So as you point out, we have to have other ways of contesting what they're doing to us than just trust in the judicial system.
Yes. Or just, you know, since they rule it, that's the way it is. Well, no, it's I'm sorry. I'm not going to take your pronouncements or your dictates. You know,
I want to go back to the old normal. I don't recognize that the old normal is never going to return.
How about we don't recognize that the old normal is never
going to return? Who the hell are you to tell me that the old normal is not going to return? I mean, this is just, and this is literally in the judicial opinion that accompanied the decision. So, I mean, you know, this is just clown world material. It's barely, you know, kind of can be taken seriously. An alert citizen should just look at this, read it, nod their head, and just say, okay, well, we're going to have to fight in some other venue.
Yeah, I mean, remember, the vaccine mandate, we were told that if we obediently took the jab, that it would bring back the old normal. Despite all this talk about the new normal, right? Remember, so it would bring back the new normal. It would restore normalcy to everything. But nevertheless, you just get back to reality as opposed to the, you know, the fevered imaginations of this particular federal judge. This is an article by Dr. Joseph McCullough. Mass vaccination was supposed to restore normalcy. So why are excess deaths on the rise? In the last 13 weeks alone, about 107,700 seniors died above the normal rate despite a 98.7 injection rate. In the week ending November 12th, the United Kingdom reported 2,047 more deaths than occurred during the same period between 2015 and 2019. Heart disease and strokes appear to be behind many of the excess deaths. In the last 13 weeks alone, about 107,700 seniors died above the normal rate despite I already read that 98% injection rate. In Vermont, where the majority are also injected, excess deaths are the highest they've been since before the pandemic. An investigation using official data from the NHS and the UK's Office for National Statistics found the deaths among teenagers increased 47% since they started getting COVID-19 shots. Deaths from COVID-19 also went up among 15 to 19-year-olds after the shots were rolled out for this age group. Throughout the pandemic, mass injections have been dangled as the way back to normalcy, the only solution to end the pandemic, save lives from COVID-19. Now, even with mass injections and some receiving two and even three shots in their arm, excess deaths are rising nonetheless. In the week ending November 12th, the UK reported 2014, I already read that. Further, since July, non-COVID deaths from the UK since have been higher than the weekly average in the 5 years prior in the pandemic. Heart disease and strokes appear behind many of the excess deaths. So we have this, you know, this all cause death spike. And this is what we warned about would happen as the deleterious effects of the vaccine set in, eroding the immune system, causing tissue damage, inflammatory disorders, all these things that, you know, that were discussed by many people would happen if people took the jab. This is a function of the toxic spike protein that they've engineered. I personally have heard a couple of accounts. I don't know, again, correlation isn't necessarily causation, as they say, but it is suspicious. Two people, a friend of mine had a cousin who took the jab earlier in the year, in the summer, he started feeling symptoms, and Labor Day, he was diagnosed with cancer. And then he was dead by the beginning of November. Same thing with his mother, albeit was elderly. She took the jab and developed cancer over the summer and just passed away. Now, again, the suspicion here, and this is what I've read, and again, I'm speaking as a layman, but I'm reading is that because of the effect that this jab has, not only the tissue damage, the inflammatory disorders it causes, but the effect it has on the immune system, destroying the innate immune system, it can bring about fast-acting cancer or accelerate someone's disease, something they may ordinarily have accelerated because your immune system is weakened. And this appears to be occurring.
It absolutely does appear to be occurring. And, you know, we had talked about, I think, 9 months ago that when the, you know, there was the increase in deaths, you know, VAERS was reporting as the vaccine was rolled out. And we noted that when the when the percentage of new deaths was accelerating faster than the vax rollout, that would be your signal of the apocalyptic genocide. You see what I mean? In other words, that's how we characterize it. So that when, you know, like while the vaccine was being rolled out, you could say, well, the vax is causing these problems. But after the vax was rolled out, if you started to see mortality increasing, then you had to be seeing the effects of the vaccine in terms of its lethality. And this is exactly what we're seeing in almost every European country. Mm-hmm. Every European country I get data on is showing the same thing. All causes death rates are going up. Now, the oligarchs are able to take the position, well, we don't have anything to do with this. This is probably caused by the lockdown and lack of medical care.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just preposterous. But the fact is that it's obviously correlated with the vaccine. And, you know,
the lockdown was imposed to encourage people to get the vaccine. So it's related.
Of
anyway.
Course. I mean, it's just a circular logic.
We didn't do anything.
Right. I mean,
Neil Ferguson was your shill who sold the necessity of lockdown by producing these fake numbers, these scary numbers back in March of 2020.
And the government supposedly taking the numbers without doing any diligence to see if they meant anything real. I mean, this we just kind of sweep under the table and don't consider, but it's all just one big lump of oligarch sophistry, Judaic Masonic sophistry, wherein you have to take the vaccine. And when you start to get sick and die, it's because you didn't take your booster. You know.
Yes. So, the booster shot.
So now you have, I think, just really, it's getting, I think, vivid that the vaccine is lethal. And I would also say that the science papers are really, you know, showing this. I mean, I won't cite all of them, but just last week, one came out that pointed out that the vaccine clearly modifies not just the innate, but the adaptive immune system. Mm-hmm. And this was a real eye-opener because this was not supposed to happen. We were supposed to get these, you know, beneficial antibodies, you know, from the, you know, that would be in the front end of the immune system. But now they're saying, no, it gets deep in there and it makes all these strange changes, which they don't really know what they do. But the entire immune system has been modified. Now, when you look at the all cases mortality increases, you're just all over the map. Certainly cancer will go up dramatically if the immune system is in any way diminished. And then you have the kind of the front end, the acute end with the myocarditis. I mean, the athletes are dropping like flies. In a two-day period last week, I learned about four new soccer player collapses, right? And
well, if you go to any soccer match, you always see some 25-year-old develop cardiac arrest and die on the field.
I mean, it's just normal, Tim. Part of the game. I mean, that's why they have the people on the sidelines with the stretchers. You know?
Yeah, it's like the crew at NASCAR. You expect their wreck.
Yeah, that's why you come. You know, so it's just, to see the wreck. You know, so this is just it's mind control, and of course, as we mentioned last week, the public is getting wise to all this slowly. The Rasmussen poll indicating that a majority of Americans, in any case, for the first time, are now worried about the side effects of the vaccine. And this is a tremendous achievement of both common sense and independent media, because, you know, at the beginning, we didn't have that number. We had like maybe 25%. Now we've doubled it. A lot of people who have taken the vaccine are having regrets. And and as I've said, this is a potent political force, because if you or your family member is permanently damaged and you're aware of it from the vaccine, and then the government response is to lie right in your face, well, that I think is a clarion call, is it not? You can't believe what the government is telling you. You need to defend yourself against the government. The government is a society that is organized against the people. It is illegitimate. It does not disclose the oaths and the perspective. It has wiggled in, this group has wiggled in to all of the little areas of power, so that now they can sit there with the media and the political potency and just say, take the darn vaccine. They have got a lot of people to take it, but there's a lot of people that haven't. It's hard to get, you know, the right number. I am convinced that there are more people unvaccinated than they're letting on. I saw some analysis of the UK a couple of days ago, which indicated that there was more than 20 million that hadn't taken the vaccine. It was pretty good analysis, showed that how the government was lying and what the real number was. So we still have a fraction of our people, to use an expression, that are not on the glide path to oblivion, you know. And this group should become more radicalized, more focused, and just more prepared to defend itself as it moves forward, because everything's going to get clearer.
Yeah, I heard a report out of the UK that even the press is exaggerating the extent to which that people are not going to shopping out on holiday during the Christmas season. And that's there to create the idea that people are fearful. And anecdotal stories where, although traffic is down, there's still brisk sales and activity going on. People aren't scared. But nevertheless, the press reported it as such, because they want to maintain, again, the fear and the mind control. There is something disturbing, like, you know, I think the onset of some of these all cause mortalities after the vaccine was introduced, and the spike in deaths and the adverse effects that people are having, it alerts people to the reality of the danger posed by the vaccine to the jab. But there is a concern that if it doesn't come fast enough, people will just become conditioned and become part of the new normal. The same way that chronic illness has become normalized in the United States, whereas in the 1970s, it was maybe 5 or 6% reported chronic illnesses and allergies. Now it's 54%. And people don't make the connection between that and the diet, the food processing, the lifestyle, and also the increase in the vaccine schedule that really picked up in the late 1980s. And it was the 90s and on and so on that we start seeing this explosion in peanut allergies, other chronic illnesses, inflammatory disorders, these sort of things. You become normalized to it, you know, and that's exactly where people become, they're chronically ill and they're constantly tended to, poked, prodded and drugged by big pharma medical complex. And in the medical industry, since the 1970s, has become increasingly dependent on the pharmaceutical industry. Because that's where the investment is, and that's where they funded the med schools, the research, even the journals. So it's all been skewed towards everyone being I guess, thinking that they need to be injected every other month with something, some new drug or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact is that the jab, the vaccine, is just the cherry on the top of the genocide sundae.
Yeah.
You know, because they have been killing us for 50, 60 years. The sperm count is down 60%. The autoimmune disorders are just catastrophic. Diabetes, obesity. I mean, there is just a constant attack on our body and our mind that goes on every single day that you live inside, an oligarch controlled country. And so when you come to the vaccine, what you have is a lethal and, of course, obviously a necessary medical, tool. And you can't talk about, there is no media discussion of either alternatives to the vaccine through natural health improvements, right? Which would, of course, if you believe all their statistics, would produce better results. I mean, just vitamin D and exercise is going to do better than the jab, but it's never discussed. And this, of course, is just a continuation of the silence that has gone on for 70 years, wherein all of these elements come forward to destroy us, and nowhere does the media, create a discussion, public discussion. This has to be the independent media to do it. I heard one, it was a New York Times pundit who talked about the reduction in sperm count. And, his response was, it's just a natural response to living in an industrial society.
What does that mean then? What's natural about an industrial society?
It's
a natural response to being subjected to toxic culture and toxic substances 24/7.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe we should rethink that society.
yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
It's just a natural response to being constantly poisoned and mind controlled.
Yeah.
That's what's natural about that.
It's just a natural response to living in. I mean, I thought that was just class. I forget the name of the guy. But the thing is that we have all of the evidence that we need. People who are anyway clear-minded, there's all sorts of ways to keep your health up and better, improving health. We will soon become, I think, the majority of the public per se, because everyone else looks like they're dying. I had this friend of mine.
I think you sent me that video. Talk about credibility. They sent me the video, Dr. Fauci saying that there have been times when the vaccine turns out to be worse than the disease.
Right. Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? So what is he admitting?
These things happen. Gosh darn it. Sometimes.
And the experiment. Well, is this one of these times then? And who's going to be held accountable for it? Not me. I mean, it's like, geez. But anyway, you were saying, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, just the point is that the science now is weighing in more and more, on the clarity of the lethality of the jab. And, the longer we can hold out, the crazier that their advocation of the jab becomes. And, at a certain point, it just becomes almost an act of violence against you when you can sit there and go, the spike protein is a pathogen, the jab wears off, and then the immune system is destroyed. Here's and then all they can say is, well, you have to take your booster. Well, you have removed the sophistry, and all that's left is the violence, right? This is a violent act against you. So this is the right vision to understand the government with. They are illegitimate. They are basically like a street gang, and they are committing violence against you and your family. They do not believe it. I mean, maybe down in the morons at the low level of the bureaucracy, they might just be parroting and thinking, well, up above, it's all correct. But believe me, people like Fauci, they all know this is just, they have to maintain the theater, the mind control. And this next, 90 days is critical, because They will try to get the last tranche of unvaccinated to take the jab. In some cases, they are really moving to kind of incarceration threat. They haven't actually done it yet, but you know, they are threatening this. They're threatening, you know, like fines that are impossible to pay, all sorts of things. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is bluff. I don't know when they will really try that. That would seem to me to just almost immediately produce violent response from the citizen, at least on the part of like 15-20%. So can they really handle that? Maybe, maybe not. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if this is a bluff, like Biden's door-to-door, you know, jab threat. I mean, they just do these things. They keep trying to push as many people toward the jab as possible. But at the meantime, the independent media, of course, is, you know, getting all of the data that it can. It's passing it along. More and more people are turning on to it because they can see that legacy media is, you know, weaponized. And so I'm pretty sure that the sophistry, the propaganda is just diminishing returns. I almost think at this point, you know, it's like the when the judge reads that statement, you know, the people who are brain dead will just nod their heads. But anyone who is in any way skeptical just goes, this woman is a tool of the oligarch. We know now. We know now what we're dealing with. So this just creates, this just, as the expression goes, steel mans us. It steel mans us. It makes us stronger. It doesn't make us weaker. We don't succumb to this kind of propaganda any longer.
Yeah, there was a Democratic state lawmaker in Illinois introduced legislation requiring unvaccinated residents to pay out of pocket for healthcare services. it's an effort to... this is basically creative ways to punish people who refuse to get the jab. This was on WBBM Radio in Chicago reports. Jonathan Carroll's legislation would amend the state's insurance code so that a person who is eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine and chooses not to be vaccinated shall pay for the healthcare expenses out of pocket if the person becomes hospitalized because of COVID symptoms. Symptoms, that's funny, symptoms. What if, how do you prove he has COVID? Actually, they don't have a test for that. It's another problem right there. Basically, so Carol is trying to ensure that the unvaccinated be denied health insurance for COVID treatments, even in cases where private insurance is already bought and paid for. This is funny, as people pointed out, is this is from a liberal Democrat who they've claimed healthcare is a right, a human right, sure. Right? It's a human right to be able to access services, I guess, provided by somebody else. But anyway.
The logic is so strange because, yeah. I mean, just to digress, it's like he said, you know, I don't want anyone who indulges in, you know, McDonald's fast food and who has 400 access to the health system because that's
how about like banning homosexuals from healthcare because of their lifestyle?
The choice they made. Yeah, of course. If they, you know, so.
Then I am health insurance because of their homosexual lifestyle.
This seems a pretty clear cut logical fallacy of special pleading. I mean, they're just singling out people that they don't like to try to
ironically, these people who don't get jabbed are more likely to put less strain on the healthcare system. It's like
I haven't been jabbed, Tim, and I hadn't been to a doctor in 20 years. No strain on it whatsoever.
I mean, it's this is just using welfare benefits. It's all part of that welfare rope everyone into UBI, welfare benefits, and social. Basically, they're erecting a social credit system where they can control your income, your job. They can make you comply with everything. It's obvious, that's the strategy there. It's just that I love these liberals. They claim to love freedom, and they you know. But of course, the question is, what's fully vaccinated? That keeps changing.
No, there's no such thing. Because right? It's always another booster. But it's strange, you know, that they really can't take us into any kind of a clear place because the genocide just always is in motion so that, you know, so you can't get your health benefits if you don't get jabbed. Well, then you have to have your boosters to get your health benefits.
Yeah.
Where is the discussion on, well, is the health benefits even a carrot? Because, you know, when you look at the effects of US medicine, it seems in general to be deleterious, right?
It basically this raises all types of questions about what even constitutes health care as opposed to sick care,
right?
The Rockefeller medicine and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I mean, I would actually say, you know, depending on circumstance, if you can just drop out, I mean, there has to be a way for a group to find, you know, someone who has familiarity with medical practice to just be their doctor and, you know, and then just live your life with the idea of being healthy. Right. And the consequences are the consequences, you know, like if I got cancer, just to use an example, I wouldn't go in for chemotherapy or radiation or any of the crackpot, you know, stuff that they have. I would try probably a German clinic. I mean, I've heard that that are, you know, based in natural ways of trying to help the immune system deal with it. And then I would just suffer the consequence. That's just life. But the side to work is not the side of pleading and begging for more doctorism. That just takes you right into this, you know, the abyss. The side to work is the side of health and nutrition and, you know, try to do the things that obviously make your immune system stronger, because that's really what will keep you from cancer and all these other disorders.
Well, that's what this whole COVID stuff has highlighted, is this sort of the corruption or the deficiencies within the whole medical system is not addressing issues like diet and toxic exposure. And a lot of that doesn't, you know, even with cancer treatment, cancer deals with the symptom. They don't deal with what actually causes it, because that's what would cure it. And, but then again, that wouldn't keep the funding going towards, you know, the chemotherapy model.
Yeah.
The cut, burn and poison approach, which is what that's all geared towards, which can at times appear to be successful depending on who you are. Like if you're diagnosed as a young person with cancer, that poisoning can buy you 20, 30, 40 years. And that would appear as a success because you're young enough to recover from the treatment. Whereas if you're older, it's just going to kill you and make your life wherever years you have left remaining. But it doesn't cure. It doesn't address what causes it in the first place. What causes the cells to, the mitochondria in the cell to misfire and cause the cancer? Because that to address that issue, you'd have to address the toxicity levels in society.
That everyone has this mind control perspective of when they're talking about these things, they always say, well, I don't take medical advice from me. I cannot get, you know, they always have this disclaimer so they don't get sued. I've always thought that's one of the more absurd parts of the American legal culture, because obviously the people that you're talking to need medical advice, right? Yeah. It's like you're saying, well, you know, both of your kids are autistic. You and your wife have leukemia. The whole family has diabetes. And as a collection, you're 2,000 pounds overweight. You know, but don't take medical advice from me.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you it's like this is just philosophical advice. You know, quit taking the toxic food and the chemicals that the doctors are giving you. You know, it's just it's just preposterous that they've actually got the mind control to the extent where people have to put that disclaimer in. I mean, obviously, you have to give what could be called medical advice, because this is what human beings do. We exchange information as, you know, we facts come in and, you know, things are disproved. You know, we're not selling chemotherapy to people. I mean, this I could see would be a breach of, you know, protocol of some kind that might ensue legal consequence. But just to discuss this, you have to put all the people in the media put out this disclaimer, and it's just preposterous, because at this point, Tim, I would say, you know, with the theoretical family I described, the fat is in the fire to the extent that we desperately need to discuss these ideas. And the silence, right, the silence that phrase kind of helped, set up during the autism, the decline in sperm count, that's part of how they're keeping us from exchanging information now, with the all causes mortality skyrocketing, and we can't talk about it. You know, we can't engage.
Well, you don't want to stigmatize fat people. That's body shaming.
Yeah, don't want to stigmatize them. And you don't want to, you know, pretend to be a doctor or, you know, give medical advice that, you know, might actually lead people.
Like if a homosexual came in a doctor's office, a homosexual man, and complained that he was sick all the time, his immune system didn't seem to be functioning anymore. You didn't want to stigmatize him by saying his behavior might be causing this, his drug addiction, his use of antibiotics, his having, you know, 400 sexual partners in a year, and his alcohol, you know, all that. You don't want to criticize his lifestyle because that doesn't affect his health ever. You just want to take his blood sample and maybe enroll him in a new chemotherapy drug program that will kill him off in 6 months.
Give him a PCR test that shows him positive to AIDS, which is, you can't even define what it is. And you ignore the fact that part of his regular breakfast is amyl nitrate.
Yes, you know? That's a bit. Yeah, you pound on his cornflakes. And that's the whole thing is you expand the symptoms of AIDS to encompass everything.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, it's like, wow, well, you have a symptom of AIDS, you know, and and you have antibodies. Yeah. Well, you know, oh, no, isn't that a good thing? Now it's a bad thing.
Yeah. And this is the thing, since it is impossible to know at this point, you know, almost even what a disease is, you really can only work the side of the street that is common sense, nutrition and health regimen, right?
Yeah.
This is really all you can do. All of the, I mean, I know there are probably chemicals out there, whiz bang chemicals that are just, you know, gonna do great stuff. No lay person could ever determine which of the chemicals are good or bad. It's impossible. Yeah. They don't have any real study or data. That the side effects are, you know, 5,000 pages long. It's a waste of time. I just think, look, the situation is so dire, but nevertheless, the solution is so simple, is just live a natural life. You know?
The problem is health and longevity doesn't fit into their business model. They want to sell you as much product as possible. That means tainting the food with the chemicals, which increase your appetite. And because of this, they want you to die off when you're in your 50s and 60s. Because that we don't put too much strain on.
Yeah, when you're no longer an influence generator. You
know? So, I mean, that's what it's all geared towards, and that's what you get like with the whole infectious disease model, which is the medical warfare model, meaning that basically we're at war with nature constantly. That's basically what they're saying. Is basically at any given moment there's a microbe out there that's going to come and get you, and you got it, and you do not have the armor or the innate ability to deal with that, because nature doesn't. There's no telos to nature; it's just all random anyway. That's another problem with this thing. But the reality is, God gave us an immune system to deal with this stuff. Now, obviously, how our terrain is depends on our diet, and we can improve that. That's what human civilization is about, with agriculture and access to food. But we can also corrupt it and ruin it, because that's man's fallen nature, and we've done that. But the whole point is what Robert F. Kennedy points out in his book, is that infectious diseases, actually, particularly in the 20th century, their threat actually was minimized, if not eradicated, in the 20th century. And most of what we confront now in the 20th century is an infectious disease. It's actually chronic illnesses brought about through toxicity and poisoning. That gets into sort of his environmental activism, but it's at least partially true. I think it is that we've had this great poisoning, and we've called it infectious diseases. And that also the poisoning also be deficiencies, because mass agriculture with chemical fertilizers have robbed food of their nutrients. So even the food we're eating, we think is healthy, we aren't getting the proper nutrients that we once were getting. This is all from mass production. And so they want to produce food faster, which means the food doesn't develop properly. You know, the vegetables that we eat and the fruit and vegetables we eat, so you don't get the nutrients you need. So we're sicker. So we need to take supplements and these things off. And that's become a big industry in the second half of the 20th century, was vitamin supplements. Why was that?
Yeah. They're turning us into the creature that they claimed we were, that needed all of the chemicals and the medicine. Because the weaker we are, the more we have to like crawl out of our houses toward the ambulance and beg for a booster, you know, chemotherapy.
Well, infectious disease is the model which creates the pretext for constant medical intervention. It's a pretext for constant medical intervention, biosecurity. They can create these pandemic scares and all this stuff, which all leads towards biosecurity control, regulation, monitoring and control. The same way that national security did. With atomic warfare, nuclear scares, and these things, it's national security to coalesce everybody. It's almost like you can read out of the report from Iron Mountain, where you need fear to coalesce society and organize it. And that's this whole model with this, is it's their whole approach is we need constant monitoring and control and managing. Otherwise, we'll all die off because, you know, the boogeyman virus is going to get you. And if you look at it, if you just look at the overall health of America, it isn't pandemics, it isn't viruses are killing you. It's the lifestyle, the toxic exposure, the poisoning that modern life subjects us all to. And it takes extraordinary effort to extricate yourself from it. And that shouldn't be the case. All this money that we pour into the National Institute of Health, you know, the $400,000 a year salary, salary and other emoluments that, that Fauci gets, that were actually poured into producing health. You know, then think of all the savings, that all the money we spend on healthcare that we're spending on something else. But the only problem is, once you spend 7 to 18% of your GDP on healthcare, that creates a huge industry, which is going to be bought up by high finance, and all of a sudden the bean counters and the accountants and the business, you know, the people with the MBAs are going to step in. And they're going to organize it in a way that maximizes profits, their quarterly reports, which isn't always to the benefit of the population or individual people, because basically the humanity, the way they look at it, is humanity is being harvested. It's being constantly taxed and harvested and exploited. And that's the business model that you see regnant at Davos, the World Economic Forum. And it's also misanthropic, meaning that instead of looking at each human being as a potential, a source of productivity, it's a tax, useless eaters. That's the idea that, you know, the term that Henry Kissinger used, the useless eaters.
Yeah, they're turning us into biological robots, basically. Yeah. Then everything you've stated is correct. Couldn't argue, and I would underline all of it, that the financial system is exploited. You know, we'll talk about this later, but to assist their genocide, their conversion of us from healthy, strong people into weaklings. You know, this all gets us there. And then when you are sitting there fearful of a virus that has doesn't even affect the age of the mortality of the general population, and you're not feeling well because of all the toxicity, and the solution is a booster schedule, which now they're openly talking about eternal boosters into the future, boosters forever, and boosters constantly. I mean, there was an Australian health guy who was saying we'll probably need boosters every 3 months.
Yeah, it's like that, right? Almost like, may paraphrase a line out of 1984. If you want a vision of the future, Winston, imagine getting boosters every week forever.
Every week. Well, I actually have, I've seen a few of my friends or acquaintances that have had boosters. And let me tell you something, judging from my small sample size, nobody has got six boosters in them, because they all got sick as the devil, or dizzy, or have some profound reaction to them that was far worse than after the second dose. And all you have to do is just look at the geometric progression, which was bound to happen as the immune system taps out, and you're going to have zombies pretty quick here, the booster zombie army. And you know, I have to say, on a personal level, I don't like being around people who have taken the vax and have been boosted. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but they irritate me, and you can't trust them. You know, their minds are so enslaved, enthralled, you know, by the propaganda that it's not like you're dealing with someone that has real agency. You know what I mean? That really is able to make their own mind about stuff. And so what is exactly the point of discussing anything with them? And you know, it's this sad but also kind of inevitable moment where we're bifurcating as a society, and the jab is really that is the dividing moment. I mean, the people who will not get jabbed are a different breed of intellect and spirit than those who will. Hopefully, a fraction of the people who've been jabbed will come to their senses as they see what's going on and move into the right column of humanity. And I'm optimistic they will be the fiercest warriors, because they're the ones who've experienced the evil on this very personal level. So it's just this amazing moment in our history. It really is. The next year will tell the tale. We'll see where it all ends up. But the energy to fight has to come out of the understanding of the evil. You know, and so the independent media just has to keep pushing as hard as we can to get more information, get more people questioning. You know, that like some of the guys who are constant bloggers, people that I read that I like, they're all saying that, you know, when you encounter someone who is jabbed and, you know, is kind of incoherent and trying to, the question is not to try to get into the details with them. I mean, the approach is not to get into the details because they can't understand any of this. The question is just to say, look, what's going on? Fauci said that the vaccine would last almost forever. Fauci said you'd never be able to catch the disease anymore. Fauci said you'd never die, right? These are statements from Fauci said you'd have herd immunity. So what's going on? You know, my point is, you try to just get them at kind of a fundamental level to engage their mind and in the question of, well, what's happening? What in the hell is going on? I mean, this is the new normal does not seem coherent.
Yeah. Well, one of the side effects of getting the vaccine is significantly reduced attention span. So, So there was an interesting, there's some illegal move in Europe. Big Pharma, Gates, Fauci, UK officials accused of crime against humanity in a complaint to the International Court. Activists are charging UK officials and the world's most powerful health figures with genocide, citing a range of statistics on the effects of COVID vaccines and policies. A group that includes former Pfizer Vice President Dr. Michael Yeadon filed a complaint with the International Criminal Court on behalf of the UK citizens against Boris Johnson and UK officials. Bill and Melinda Gates, chief executives of big pharma companies, World Economic Forum executive chairman Klaus Schwab, and others for crimes against humanity. The UK group, including an astrophysicist and a funeral director, that's a motley assortment, but it's appropriate, I guess. Additionally, charged Dr. Anthony Fauci, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, a director general of the World Health Organization, June Rain, chief executive of Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, Dr. Radiv Shah, president of the Rockefeller Foundation, and Dr. Peter Daszak, president of EcoHealth Alliance, as responsible for numerous violations of the Nuremberg Code, war crimes, crimes of aggression in the UK and other countries. After repeated unsuccessful attempts to raise a case with the English court system, the applicants resorted to calling with utmost urgency for the ICC to stop the rollout of COVID vaccinations, introduction of unlawful vaccination passports, all the types of illegal warfare being waged against the people of the United Kingdom. In the group's complaint filed December 6th, they present evidence that COVID-19 vaccines are in fact experimental gene therapies engineered with gain-of-function research from bat coronaviruses, arguing that these vaccines have caused massive death and injury, and that the UK government has failed to investigate such reported deaths and injuries, that COVID cases and death numbers have been artificially inflated, that face masks are harmful due to hypoxia, hypercapnia, and other causes, and the PCR tests are completely unreliable, contain carcinogenic ethylene oxide. They furthermore argued that effective treatments for COVID-19, such as hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, were suppressed, leading to a greater death toll for COVID-19 than should have occurred. To make the case that the lockdowns were enacted under the pretext of artificially inflated infection death numbers from an engineered virus, as well as the experimental vaccines, have resulted in massive short-term damage and death, with at least 395,000 reported adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccines in the UK alone, a sharp uptick in the childline calls for vulnerable children during lockdowns, destruction of wealth, businesses to impose lockdowns, severe deprivation of physical liberty and violation of fundamental rules of international law, including bans on travel and gatherings, enforced quarantine and self-isolation, apartheid due to segregation by vaccine passport possession, and expected reduction in fertility after vaccines, among all their harmful physical, and psychological effects. So that pretty much covers it, doesn't it?
It's kind of exhausting, but you know, those guys, I think it's, you know, I mean, they're doing what they think is right, but I would just remind them of the words of Judge Jane Strong.
Yes.
We read earlier that she would just stare at them with her fish face and say, you know, you need to recognize that the old normal is not going to return.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So
like I said, don't put your eggs in one basket. I applaud their efforts. I applaud that group, that Laura's group in Germany. you know, the citizens exactly committee.
Right. And it's good that they do it, and it gets publicity, and it helps the, you know, kind of the people who can move from the understanding of the world through the legacy media into a clearer state where they're getting information from better sources. So they should do it. They should try to get publicity, but they should also go straight to the what can be called the court of public opinion, and they should just recognize. And as they make the transition, the first thing they should say to the public opinion world is that, look, guys, we did try to use the kind of the official government legal system. It is as plugged up with you know, with evil as the administrative parts of the health system are. So there's nothing there for us. As a people, we have to recognize that the government is a organized secret society against the people. This is the what I would say is the first thing they should say, and then they should go on to basically produce all the evidence that would you know, make those obvious assertions verified, because there's so much evidence now, it's just, you know, fire hose kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they that's how they should approach it. They should go to the court of public opinion and then hopefully let that be the news story. That and I was gonna just to digress, you know, morticians are really valuable because they have accurate death numbers.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers that the government gives us in death, I mean, I'm sure they'll, I mean, I talked about my local hospital where the nurses can't even talk about the vaccine damage inside the hospital, right? They're just shut down from any kind of discussion about that. So that's going around on throughout the Western world right now. They're trying to keep all the information of what's going on inside the hospitals from getting to the public, whereas the morticians have a clearer understanding of the situation, because they've got the bodies piling up in the lobby, right? And they know what these people are dying from, and they can see this isn't normal. You know, these kinds of, you know, heart diseases and strokes in young people are not normal. I mean, I've been here for 30 years as a mortician, and there have been more of these kinds of fatalities in the last 6 months than in my entire career. That's a statement from one of the guys that posted on YouTube. So that this is great. This is all correct information, has to get out to the public, helps the public understand how serious and dire the situation is. No more, you know, old normal. You know, when Jane Strawn says that, you know, recognizing that the old normal is not going to return, the right response is, you know, Jane, you're absolutely right. The old normal was when I listened to you. The old normal was when I thought the judicial procedure had some kind of objective reality that you could weigh, you know, good and evil in. And now I know it's just an 100% cesspool system of mind control. So in the new normal, you have to get down from the bench, stop talking to us, you know, and we're going to stop listening to you. So we have to define the new normal. We can't let Jane Strawn tell us that, you know, the old normal is not going to return. And I am the God of the new normal. You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's me. So the old normal is not coming back. I'm telling you what's real. Well, you know, okay, Jan, look, we've heard it. Our whole life has been propaganda from you and people like you. We're sick of it. We know the truth now. It's completely transparent. We have to, you know, tell them what the new normal is going to be. And the new normal is their systems. They're controlled systems of genocide, the court systems, the media, you know, the controlled elections. This all is no longer believed in. We're not participating in it. We're going to build a new normal where we have some political power.
Yeah, they may get their new normal. May not be the new normal they anticipated. You we say you want a sure revolution.
It's not the new normal that they want.
You say you want a revolution. Okay, you got
that's
one, right?
Exactly right. You wanted a revolution. Okay, now you got it.
Yeah.
And we'll show you a new normal.
You know, well, that's the thing, is that the old normal got us to where we are. So obviously, exactly. some sort of reset and reevaluation and revision is necessary, and that's obviously the case. You know, these things revising what led us to this, and that led us faith in the system.
I think, Tim, you should get like one of these kind of you know, ornate uniforms and hold a press conference where you talk about the great reset, you know, that you're about to bring about. You know, you just take the position that you are the new Klaus Schwab, the Klaus Kelly, and you're going to like just here is that the new normal.
So if I got like a shiny website and put a big building behind me and got put on a weird like Nehru jacket type thing and affected a weird German accent and dictated the world that a new normal was inevitable, that it would involve, a return to community and a return to political institutions based on a human
physical
scale.
Physical health.
That people would have to follow along because I'm in a Nehru jacket and I'm speaking with the German accent.
Exactly. This is the thing is that it's so, at this point, it's so stupid, the techniques of mind control, that it really, you know, actually there are YouTube bloggers that kind of take that approach, but I just think that the more of that we can do, the better, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is, this week, President Biden continued to suffer declining approval ratings. President Joe Biden is facing significant skepticism from the American public, with the job approval rating lagging across a range of major issues, including new lows for his handling of crime, gun violence, and economic recovery, a new ABC Ipsos poll finds. As the White House confronts rising and widespread concern about inflation, Americans are especially negative on how the Biden administration is managing the issue. Inflation apparently is now a bigger concern than COVID for most Americans, according to the Ipsos Knowledge Panel, which is interesting because we're in the middle of a raging pandemic, especially killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. But people, are worried that they can't afford their next meal or pay the mortgage or afford gasoline. So we have this inflation issue. Of course, Biden came out and said it's a good thing. Inflation is actually a good sign because it's proof that Americans have lots of money.
That's senile. Toad should be like taken off the podium. I mean, it's just, it's just ridiculous that this guy is president.
Well, that's another thing. It's just guys, obviously, I haven't seen any polls say how many Americans think that their president is senile, but I think most people kind of know it. They just ignore the issue. But again, it's, this is what happens. And of course, what Biden's contending with, and this is what all presidents contend with, is we don't look at the presidents, is he's dealing with the economic effects of years of policy. I mean, obviously, Trump started it wasn't Trump, but it was, Trump was president, but it was determined the CARES Act was passed when Trump was president. And the U.S. government, along with the Treasury, the Federal Reserve System, decided to pump tens of trillions of dollars into the economy at the same time they're shutting things down, reducing the amount of products and services available. So eventually that's going to cause price inflation. Prices going up because you have more money chasing fewer goods. You also had this sort of manipulation of the labor market where you're paying people not to work, supplementary unemployment insurance, the stimulus bills, these things. Now, initially, from what I understand, is people were taking that money and paying their bills down or putting it in savings, which actually has a deflationary effect, which they don't like, by the way. They want people spending, that money. So people paid off, Lord knows I did. I just paid bills with it, I didn't go out and consume more, they're saying you get this check every month. Wow, this is great, but it's not free, But at the same time, you've had this lower production. Worker participation is way down, which is odd enough. Suppose the unemployment has dropped below 6%. I don't know what to make of that when it was as high as 50% in the spring of 2020. Because of the lockdowns, but then people aren't returning to work, so you have particularly men. If you look at workforce participation, it's dropped from like 90% in 1960 for men down to like 60%, whereas workforce participation for women has gone up from like 20% to like 75% or something. So I forget the, but basically workforce participation has increased for women, has decreased for men. Now that might be celebrated as a feminist triumph, but really it's a bad sign because men need to work and support their families. They're not doing that. What are they doing? Well, they're watching pornography, they're gaining weight and becoming alcoholics, and women are becoming barren. So that's not a healthy thing. I know that goes against the dictates or the values of the post-modern feminist whatever society we live in, But it really, it's an indication of societal suicide when you're doing that. But again, you've all this money being created. I think $10 trillion, they say, in the past year.
Way more than that. I mean, you have $6 trillion Fed, $4 in the magic Federal Reserve balance sheet.
Yeah.
But then you have to, the state debt is just a black box. I mean, no one has even the slightest idea. Yeah. How much does Illinois actually owe? You know what? And how are they financing this? There's so much fake money moving around. It's certainly, you know, a number which can never be serviced by the real economy. I mean, this is the line in the sand. You know, talking about inflation, it's almost a quaint concept. The bottom line is when you're ginning up $10 trillion. And your real economy isn't a whole lot bigger than that, because remember, when they put out the GDP, they've got all the fake government money moving around and stuff. So the real economy is never going to catch up to the debt. At this point, the dollar is simply mind control. It's just being used to keep people in line. They'll give them any money. You know, it's like Biden says, look, you're better off because you have more dollars. You know,
yeah.
Well, try to buy a used car. Try to buy a new car.
Yeah.
I had a relative go and try to buy a car and place the order. We'll get the car in April.
Yeah.
April, so 5 months.
Okay. They need to pay for it?
Well, yeah. I mean, the and then of course with used cars, they're twice what they were, because people are desperate to get their hands on automobiles. And of course, like you said earlier, when the fake money starts percolating down, the tiny amounts of it into the hands of the public, there is suddenly a lot more cash than there are goods. And this is particularly the case whereas in the case of California, we have over 100 container ships that are sitting out there that can't be unloaded.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the relationship between money and goods, well, the goods are out at sea. And the money is piling up exponentially.
Yeah, the money appears electronically in your bank account or in your mailbox or a check.
There, yeah.
But the goods are on those container ships.
Yeah, that's right. So you can see that it's not a great situation for a long-term retention of value in the dollars in my local area, because again, this is it's enclave driven in terms of real estate. You're either in a safe zone or not. In the zones that are becoming, basically codified autonomous zones, like San Francisco, LA, all of the larger cities now have just, to some degree or another, the ones that are funded by open society money, and this almost all the big ones, they're just autonomous zones in the making. And so people are fleeing, and the enclaves are becoming more valuable. And now the middle class is in competition in the enclaves with the oligarchs.
Yes.
Because they're, of course, buying, if you look at where who's buying the real estate, I could send you articles about, people moving into the neighborhood in these enclaves. And they're all owners of, financial businesses and members of the royal family. I mean, it's just, these are not the normal people, and they can just bid the price up of just pretty much middle class, what used to be middle class housing. And so enclaves have doubled in value, really, over the last year. I mean, it's just been, a windfall if you happen to own in this area in a way, but it's also a way of starting a truly bifurcated society, because these
people hold assets. Those assets tend to appreciate along with inflation, whereas people who earn wages, so they get it. They don't keep up with inflation. Yeah.
And the middle class can never, it's like the debt. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's just the other half of that picture, is that the middle class can never catch up now to the buying power of the oligarchs, so that any place that really is nice, has a place where you are safe and you feel good, it is going to be bid up. We're just at the beginning of this trend, in my opinion. You're going to see all of these areas where the middle class lives will be either turned into autonomous zones are turned into enclaves. And if they're enclaves, man, you're not going to be able to buy your way in either, or grew up there and own the house outright, or you're just not going to get let in. So this is the new America that you're looking at. And then once, as that's going on, of course, they're going to be depopulating the autonomous zones. All of the people who are the fentanyl brigade that are staggering around in these areas, they think, you know, well, things are going to get better because the new Soros-funded mayor is going to make sure that, you know, I won't be arrested for using drugs. I mean, the death rate in these areas is going to just skyrocket. All of these places are going to just start, they'll be dropping like flies because there is so much. It's not just the vax, it's also all of the toxic drugs that are coming into these areas. So these are just killing zones for the oligarchs. You know, that's really what they are. That's how they've been designed. That's what when you think of like the autonomous zone in Seattle and those idiots that were walking around talking about, we're going to create a new culture. Yeah, you're creating a new slaughterhouse that you're going to be the first animal that's put on the chopping block. That's really what you've done, because there's obviously no cultural or political power that can ever come out of the autonomous zone. It's just there to keep people in place while the government kind of works out clever ways to kill them.
And also the problem with the labor market, talking about the labor shortage there is, well, a lot of people have retired. They just had to go back and they were able to retire. And this is probably the effect of sort of the declining birth rates, sort of part of the sort of degeneracy of the baby boomers, where now there isn't the labor force there. And also the quality of the labor force, meaning you just can't, the native population can't stop reproducing. And then at the same time, just import cheap labor. It's not gonna be the same quality of labor. So that's gonna affect on productivity. And so this is where, again, where you just can't look at, you can't just switch out one worker for another. You know, you just can't, you know, this is where the oligarchs are mistaken, or they don't care. You just can't, you know, play the populations against one another and accept the same outcome. So we're seeing that sort of a demographic effect. And so that speaks to the demographic decline of the European white majority of the country. There's going to be a qualitative effect on that when you do that. And also one thing you got to remember is when you're dealing with the Biden administration is, it's incompetent. He's senile. He doesn't know what's going on. He's not calling the shots. He's just being told where to sign. And that probably doesn't really distinguish himself from other presidents either in any respect. It's just, we've had empty suits as presidents, and now we have one empty suit and an empty head. So that's what it is. But if you look at what they're doing with inflation, of course, inflation helps debtors, and the biggest debtor out there is the federal government. And so you simply can't pay off their debts without inflating away their, at least parts of that debt. And that's what they're doing. That's why you have discussions of raising interest, because one way to fight inflation is you raise interest rates. The only problem is then the cost of debt goes up, and where's the federal government? That's just mathematics. But what they want is, again, what this part of the inflation, this goes to hold the great reset, the currency change that comes with it, because you look at currencies, money is a governing system. You talked about mind control. Well, government's mind control in many respects. So the currency we have reflects the governmental system we have, and because it determines what we can buy, how much freedom we have, because most people associate personal liberty with economics, the amount of choices we have in life, what we do for a living, where we can go, what we can buy, how we can get around. All that is these are economic matters, and they have a profound effect on how we view ourselves and our lifestyles. So if you change the money system, you change the governing system. That's what they're trying to do. At least that's what was the vision laid out in the Great Reset. That's what you saw at the Jackson Hole meeting in the summer of 2019, when the decision, I think, was taken for the pandemic and the bailouts and these things with BlackRock devising the plan and also being one of the primary beneficiaries of the pandemic. But the inflation is the idea is to crush the quality of life in the country. In this country and also throughout the West, what they're doing now pretty much is on purpose. So it isn't just at one level, it's incompetence, but then the people above that can rely on incompetence to implement the plan. They don't want people to have jobs. They don't want people to have meaningful lives, to own houses, to have families and these things. So they're sterilizing you, and they're destroying your health with the vaccines. They're collapsing the economy with this whole pandemic thing. They're making energy more expensive under the cover of green energy. These things are shutting off pipelines. they're essentially destroying. They establish this global system with these long supply chains that supposedly flood us with cheap goods from cheap labor from abroad, so we think we're wealthier than we are. Then they destroy the supply chains, and then they shut everything down, and they print money to cover everything. Well, obviously, money doesn't change economic reality. It just changes the prices of things. And it just basically, when you play games with interest rates to affect the money supply, you're just shifting wealth from one hand to another, and usually it goes up. And we've seen that with the lockdown, where almost $4 trillion was transferred upwards from the middle class to the giant corporations because of the lockdown. And that's the great transfer that occurred, and it's continuing. So that's what this inflation thing is about. Obviously, if you wanted to cure inflation, you want to increase productivity, you release whatever restrictions there are, and you wouldn't have to print more money. But again, they want to paper things over, and then they're dealing with any other short-term political effects. The same thing you have a problem with the crime, right? You had the summer of George Floyd, and you had the police stand down, all the rioting and the stuff, and that achieved the objective of getting Donald Trump out, perhaps, or in the COVID creating the pretext for the fake elections and all the fraud and all the mayhem. But then you're dealing with the explosion of crime, which may not be as controlled. So then the local politicians are forced to deal with that. Now you have local like the mayor of San Francisco coming out, speaking out against crime and looting. You know, when they facilitated it, you know, they actually cheered it on. They said these were peaceful protests. So now we're all dealing with that. But again, a lot of this is planned chaos. And that's all part of the Great Reset. The collapse of the currency system, the collapse of the economic system is at the level this is being planned. Now, whether at the mid or lower levels they'll be able to finally implement it, that's another question. But this is this gets us towards that objective. The destruction of the currency, the destruction of local governments and these things, the collapse of local police forcings, the federalizing everything. It's so you can see they're trying to make life more difficult for you, impossible for you. So you go begging and crawling and begging for the Great Reset, you know?
Yeah. And so the right response to all that is to just intense localism, just, you know, be ready for decline in every aspect of democracy. I would bet that with Omicron being so infectious, that, for example, they'll within a week or so, they'll postpone the NFL. You'll start seeing maybe even the NBA, that kind of stuff. Well, they'll shut that down. And you will have an incoherent position, because this, as they describe it, the Omicron doesn't really make anyone sick.
That's what the South African health.
But it does create cases. Said, yeah. It's going to be the casedemic.
Yes.
To the heavens. And so you need to be prepared for that moment.
Are they still using the PCR test to identify Omicron cases?
No, it's funny. So
which is supposed to be being not taken off the shelf in January because it's
right.
Not reliable.
Well, I had a close person, personal friend, had for a reason that had to have a the certificate of negative results, and he was told he had to go to the county to have this test. He went, and I analyzed it, and it was the old PCR test.
So we're back to that again. So
yeah, and when I tried to get the county to tell me, well, what cycles are you using to see if what exactly does the test mean, they didn't know.
So this goes back to the people don't have their attention span is too short. They don't see exactly all this together. Because I heard, the Omicron predictions, it could infect, it could cause so many deaths. Its infection rates are really high. And I look at the study, Neil Ferguson.
All right. And then
why would anyone at this point trust Neil Ferguson?
The South African data indicates that less than 1 in 100 even get sick. I'm not sure if they actually have had a death yet. I think they have. But
well, UK reported a death, but wouldn't provide the name. A death,
right?
But wouldn't provide the name.
You have to remember that this is a collection of human beings, and one of the attributes we have is we die from time to time. So If you get enough of us piled into a particular group, you're going to eventually have a fatality, and then you know, there you go. Well, we've got to lock everything down.
Yeah, actually, 100% people who live eventually die. So
that's right. Unfortunately, so boosters. You know, I was asked like, why did we go to Omicron from Delta? You know, it doesn't seem to follow the Greek alphabet. And I think it's because Delta is represented as a triangle, and Omicron is a circle with a little dot in the middle of it. And if you put that inside the triangle, you get the all-seeing eye. And, you know, they love this stuff. You know how they are.
There isn't also moronic, an anagram for moronic.
Moronic is, yeah. So all of these things are just, it amuses them at the top. But what is not amusing is the fact that, just as an example, you know, the NFL, they've got like 20 players. I'm just, you know, drawing a number, but they have a whole bunch of players. And so.
Aren't they all vaccinated?
All vaccinated, of course. Okay. They're all vaccinated. They all test positive for the Omicron, and the response is shut the game down, even though there is no illness.
Yeah.
Right. So we're now entering into, I would say, into like a phase where reason has been just completely set aside, and you're just into headlines and obedience. I mean, this is literally peace is war, because there is no illness they're not even talking about it. They're just talking about a PCR test, a positive result. They're shutting it down, and this is for our good. So this, you know, is they are definitely going to try to pick off the last few indecisive people. I would say, you know, can't give medical advice to him because I'm not a doctor.
Well, I mean, but we've had, here we are, we're into the
it'd be a bad idea to take the jab at this point. And if you've taken the jab, don't take a booster. Do some research, you know, and come to your own opinion, and don't listen to Fauci.
A little common sense. We're into the final month of the NFL season, and even the end of the college football season, and where people have been stuffed into these stadium complexes cheek to jowl without any great outbreak reports of illnesses. And I emphasize illness, not cases, because I suspect.
It's ludicrous. Tim, we've got whole states now like Florida. How does that happen? You know, they have the lowest case fatality rates in the whole nation. Well, I mean, so all of these measures are not, don't really do anything. You've got states like Vermont and Maine that are like 96% vaxxed above, you know, 60. And they're just, these people are all getting sick because now they're entering into flu season.
Yeah, and they're not getting in. Yeah, again,
And they have the vaccine in them.
Yes.
So they're going to be sick. So there you go. They go, well, you know, shucks, what's the solution? Boosters. They need boosters. You know, that will.
I like how they call it, well, is it a breakthrough case? Well, breakthrough. I love these terms of art they use, because they breakthrough. Well, maybe it's because the vaccine weakens the immune system and you get sick where you otherwise wouldn't have gotten sick, or you're just weaker. And they're like, is that a breakthrough case? If the vaccine is actually making you sick, because what they call a vaccine is really gene therapy, a spike protein. It's a pathogen which causes all types of compromises your immunity, or causes you to have a reaction. You know,
my favorite statistical bonbon is that they don't include anyone in the vaxxed categories for any, you know, fatalities or adverse events until 14 days after the second dose. So that means that someone who dies like immediately after getting the vaccine, well, that was an unvaccinated person.
Yes, it doesn't count.
So that's an unvaccinated person who's dead, but yes, he was vaccinated, but we didn't have the 14 days to, you know. So it's just, you know, they have these categories to
fool. Well, you have to distinguish dying of the vaccine or dying with the vaccine. The distinction they didn't make with COVID for 18 months. So they got the numbers up. So you could claim 800,000. And also what they do is they combine year in, year out, whether now they're combining part of one year, almost parts of three different years in the death toll. Well, they never did that before.
Right. So, yeah, we 100 times we've gone over like how they can manipulate. All these numbers are just propaganda. You know, it's sad, but the legacy media should not be permitted to use numbers. I mean, that would be a huge improvement.
They stopped reporting deaths. So it's one thing, it's sort of the cultural decline of COVID, meaning if you watch the news media, which I rarely do, from what I understand is they're no longer, they don't have that ticker, deaths. Remember they had the ticker?
Yeah, of course.
That's gone. And, you know, they went from deaths to cases. That happened a long time ago. And then, oh, that's an interesting change because people aren't sick, but they're, you know, you can shut down. You can be forced to.
Well, it's always a new phenomenon that is there to perplex us, because the old one, and we're starting to catch on to, they go from Alpha to Delta and now from Delta to Omicron. Mm-hmm. What in the hell is Omicron? You know, they talk about these patients and things like this and the spike protein of the thing and how we should be afraid. They're shutting down the NFL. All these games are not going to cancel.
Well, the other thing is, like, didn't the Austrian prime minister resign? The one that was imposing. So then they're saying in January there's going to be a mandate. Well, if it's so darn important, why won't you mandate it now? So it's like a bluff. They're saying how many people comply.
Exactly.
And so they really don't have the resources for individual mandates. That's why they chose the employee right in the United States, these OSHA employees getting companies to do it.
You know, and that's why the ruling was so destructive, but also so inevitable. I mean, it is now going to the Supreme Court, whether or not.
Who knows? I mean, it's like I said, if they come down in our favor, I cheer it, but I don't, you know.
I would think the Warren Commission would have a better chance of, like, producing a verdict that would help the American public understand reality. So it's the fix is in. They're going to support Biden's mandate, and then the fight's going to be on.
Yes.
You know?
And that's when get your state governments, your local governments, and sheriffs.
And just use Kyrie Irving as an example. I mean, he said no to the vax, and then now they've said, well, okay, you can play.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, right?
And Aaron Rodgers, right. So that's the thing is that.
I like how he gets his treatment. It works. He's not sick. He's not dead. So what's the issue?
So it's just that going forward, I mean, these are really serious, you know, situations, because if you need the paycheck and you're hand to mouth and you have a family, what are you going to do? I would just, I would argue, you know, stay with health and sanity, find a way. But use these moments, use this period to organize, if nothing else, along the lines of like, well, how are we going to eat? How are we going to support one another? You know, I mean, these are the times when the unvaxxed need to organize to protect ourselves against, the illegitimate government.
So, okay, Joe.
All right, Tim. Well, have a great weekend, brother.
Take it easy.